Utahns on both sides of the argument weigh in on gay marriage. The Utah legislature prepares to hear this year's revenue projections, and the mayor of a small Utah town resigns. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, February 25th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utahns are making their voices heard as the U.S. Supreme Court prepares to take up same-sex marriage next month. The court will hear arguments in two cases concerning the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. The Utah Pride Center plans to file an amicus brief to the nation's highest court this week, arguing that laws that ban same-sex marriage amount to discrimination. But the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Utah's Attorney General have filed their own briefs in defense of traditional marriage and states' rights to decide. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Jackie Biskupski was Utah's first openly gay state legislator, and she believes Utah has an important role to play in the national discussion over same-sex marriage. Speaking to a crowd of gay rights advocates in Salt Lake City earlier this month, Biskupski recalls Utah's influence in the passage of Proposition 8, the ballot initiative banning same-sex marriage in California.
As we all know, Prop 8 has moved the eyes of this country from California to Utah, and for good reason. We have a due diligence as citizens of this state to make sure that we lead this country in the right direction, because we all know this issue really is coming from the state of Utah.
The executive director of Marriage Equality USA, Brian Silva, also sees Utah as an important battleground. He came from New York to take part in the state's demonstration for same-sex marriage.
This is where I wanted to be. This is where I wanted to stand on the side of love and to support all the families in Utah that are trying to be treated equally under the law.
The Supreme Court hearing has given gay rights advocates in Utah hope where there wasn't much before. Valerie Larrabee is executive director of the Utah Pride Center. She came to the center the same year that Utah passed a constitutional amendment making same-sex marriage illegal.
When I came here in 2004, the current dialogue was that marriage was 20-plus years away. And I did the math and knew what that meant for my life. And so 9 years forward to be actually, you know, waiting for the day that this conversation will take place at the Supreme Court is a dream come true.
The Utah Pride Center is filing an amicus brief arguing that a law banning same-sex marriage amounts to discrimination. Larrabee says there's a system of discrimination in Utah that impacts lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. That includes the ban on marriage and adoption by same-sex couples, as well as prohibitions of young people forming gay-straight alliance clubs in public high schools.
It's felt that if the Supreme Court rules about marriage on a federal level, then states will not be able to maintain the discriminatory practices at the state level.
But Utah's new Attorney General John Swallow sees nothing unfair in Utah's constitutional amendment.
I don't believe that this law unfairly discriminates. The people who pass these laws and the people who vote are entitled to set policy that they feel is in the best interest of the people they represent.
Swallow has filed briefs to the Supreme Court in favor of California's Proposition 8 and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act.
We actually believe that the issue should be left to the states to decide, and Utah has decided by constitutional amendment that marriage should be limited to one man and one woman.
Swallow admits that he does not represent the views of everyone in the state, but he says a clear majority, 66%, voted for a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage.
I understand as a person that is of concern to some people, and that these issues are very energetic and very emotional and impact families. But I felt, as the Attorney General, that I should err on the side of supporting the state legislature and the voice of the people in passing that constitutional amendment.
The LDS Church and the Marriage Law Foundation, based in Utah, have also filed briefs in defense of traditional marriage. While the Utah Pride Center represents a minority view in the state, Valerie Larrabee says it's just as important for the Supreme Court to hear their side.
I am so excited to be able to take the voice of all of the people that live not only here, but in other red states that have similar circumstances in one document to the Supreme Court. Because if we didn't do that, we would be so remiss. This may be the only chance in our lifetime to share our story.
Just last week, former Utah Governor John Huntsman announced his support of gay marriage in the American Conservative magazine. In the editorial, he called for conservatives to take the lead on the issue. Meanwhile, the Obama administration has filed a brief calling the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in late March. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The Utah legislature gets new revenue projections today that will shape the state's budget in the final days of the legislative session. House Speaker Becky Lockhart is hopeful the projections will show a significant surplus, but she warns there's a lot of demand on any new money that shows up.
We have costs in Medicaid. We have just the annual growth in public education. We have the $25 million mistake from last year from the State Office of Education that we need to make ongoing. So there's a lot of things that we just are going to do that takes upwards right around $200 million of whatever growth we have.
Lockhart says she's not terribly worried about the federal sequester limiting the amount of money coming in from the federal government, but she says that sequester could have a very significant impact on employees at Hill Air Force Base. Last year, the Utah legislature passed a bill giving the federal government until the end of 2014 to turn over control of public lands in Utah to the state. If it doesn't, then the state can sue to gain control. This session, Republican Representative Roger Barris is pushing a bill that he says is the next step in the process. House Bill 142 would require state agencies to develop a report outlining how the state of Utah will handle that transfer and manage those lands once they are in state control. Barris says that deadline hasn't changed.
I look at it as a deadline in helping the state of Utah and the federal government find ways that we can work together during this process and not really necessarily have that as a hammer that at that point in time we're done with each other. It's really the opening of the door of how we move through this whole process.
Barris isn't bothered by the assertion from Democrats and officials of the Obama administration who say the state's demand for sovereignty can't be taken seriously.
Three members of the New Mexico legislature have introduced a bill demanding that the federal government surrender control of millions of acres of public land. It's similar to Utah's HB 148, which was passed and signed by Utah's governor last year. Legislative staffers have questioned the bill's constitutionality. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a similar bill passed by her legislature. A top leader of the National Rifle Association told an audience in Utah over the weekend that universal background checks for firearms purchases could lead to federal seizure of firearms. Wayne LaPierre told a crowd of about 1,000 people at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo that background checks would generate lists of firearm owners, and he says those lists could also end up in the hands of criminals. A leader of Utah Parents Against Gun Violence criticized the speech as playing on the fears and paranoia of some gun owners. Helper Mayor Dean Armstrong has resigned after his third arrest for drunk driving. The city council accepted his resignation at a special meeting on Saturday. Armstrong was arrested after a minor accident in Helper that caused no injuries. He pleaded guilty on two other occasions. A University of Utah football player has been dismissed from the team after a domestic violence incident. Kulinyasi Leota was charged Friday with felony aggravated assault, kidnapping, and domestic violence in the presence of a child. He also faces four misdemeanor charges. Leota played in 10 games as a junior last season. Coach Kyle Whittingham says the program will try to help Leota and his family, but won't tolerate such behavior. And finally, the Bureau of Land Management is proceeding with a plan to move 700 wild horses to a ranch in southwestern Montana. Owners of neighboring ranches are concerned about whether the land can sustain and the fences contain the animals. The first truckloads of horses are due to arrive at the Spanish Q Ranch northwest of Ennis as early as Wednesday. The ranch owners have a 10-year contract to house and feed the horses at a cost of $1.36 per animal per day, much less than the average $5.50 at a short-term facility in Wyoming, Colorado, Nevada, Utah, and Oklahoma. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, February 25th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.